Oh, it was muted. Oh, I could have played with that fader all day long and nothing would have happened. Well, bless you guys. We just absolutely love coming up here. I can't speak for the rest of my team, but I love mornings is where I'm going with this, okay? I love mornings. Some of the other team members of the team find it a little more challenging perhaps, but I love mornings. It's the best time of the day, so no issue, no problem. And there's one thing about Sunday mornings. 401 is just... clean and tidy all the way through. I was actually out here yesterday at a First Nations meeting, and I gave myself, well, it usually takes about, I don't know, 40 minutes to get here from my house on a Sunday morning. Well, an hour and a half later on a Saturday, which is, I never thought Saturday would be like that. Yeah, some of you are going, what's wrong with you? Don't you know these things? But it really is a joy to be with you again. This has always felt like home, even before the move that you made from the other side of 401. And this is, for me, getting to be a little more comfortable all the time. You know, I worship and I can see the outside. I couldn't do that in the other building. This is nice, isn't it? And I can smell the coffee. So it's good. Well, we're entering into a season, of course, now that tends to get kind of busy for everybody, doesn't it? And on the one hand, we love it. On the other hand, we're going, oh, do you know it's only 5 weeks? Today. 5 weeks today. Christmas arrives. That's much time we all have to get ready. Okay? We have a wonderful tradition at our house. We really love stocking gifts. And we end up opening them in our own beds. You know, the stockings are not hung by the fireplace. They're hung on the doorknob. And so whenever the kids got up, and this is from way back, they, instead of, you know, bounding into our room, waking us up at some hour that's way before my time, they would have their stocking hung on the door. But stockings require different kind of wrapping techniques. You know, if I have a box, it's like, we're done. Those fiddly little stocking gifts. And I would spend, no kidding, days wrapping those blessings. And that for me is probably the biggest challenge of Christmas. The good news this year is I got to put out my Christmas lights outside in my t-shirt. I have never done that before, so I'm just rejoicing. And on a day like today, it's absolutely lovely. You know, it's a sense of God's favor and his desire just to want to bless and have us in a place where we can actually enjoy life. I think that's the heart of the father. That's the heart of any earthly father, to see their children enjoying life, progressing, contributing, and all the rest of it. How much more so our Heavenly Father? Well, I do know that all biblical heroes of the faith, all of them, who made a difference in the world. Now, I'm talking about people like David, like the Apostle Paul, in fact, even Jesus himself, had a special walk, a special relationship with the Father that was really based in intimacy. Now, I know this is kind of our message, a message of intimacy. It's what we're just called for, and I really do want to go deeper into that. The natural outflow of that friendship and intimacy was compassionate, spiritually empowered ministry to others. And I think that's actually the best kind of ministry there is. It's a ministry that is based out of a place of rest. It's not like we're going to go and just give everything we got, and at the end of it, there's just nothing left, and we're absolutely exhausted. I mean, Dana, my prayer for you as you head into India, is it Mumbai you're going to?
Yeah, Mumbai.
Most of the time or outside that?
Oh,
okay. Oh, so you've been in some villages with all those wonderful challenges. Yes, yes, excellent, excellent. Well, just stretch your hands again toward Dana. Dana, we just bless you with the strength that does not come from you. We bless you with the strength that comes from your Heavenly Father, who will give you all that you need. And we bless you to rest in knowing that that strength will be there for you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so all the ministry that we want to do then, we want to do out of that place of rest and out of a place of intimacy with the Father. I mean, I've asked you before, anybody here ever had a prophetic word that brought pain? Yeah, there are some. And could I suggest that perhaps that word was not really given with the heart of the Father? The heart of the Father really is to bring people into redemption, and to bring people into life. That's always his task, his flow. And so that's how we want to minister, life-giving. That's how we want to pray, life-giving. That's how we want to give that prophetic word, life-giving words. I also understand the Lord doesn't want us just to work for him. Okay? I think I've said it to you before. We could get, as a servant, everything right, do everything perfectly. And as a servant, we inherit nothing. But as a son or daughter, we can even get stuff wrong. In fact, we can get it all wrong. And we inherit everything. So, we love being a servant. We love doing the stuff. But we're secure in knowing that we're a son, we're a daughter. And our inheritance is not in the serving. It's in being a son or daughter. And again, that's a wonderful place of rest, isn't it? So, the Lord doesn't want us just to work for him. The Lord wants us to enter into his joy. Ever heard that before? Now, this is kind of a strange thing, entering into his joy. That's part of the task? That's part of what we're supposed to do?
Yes.
Yes, it is. You may recall the parable in Matthew 25. It's the parable of the talents. And often when I hear that parable, you know, the two wise servants invested whatever the talent was, and there was a return. But the last one was afraid and buried it in the ground. And when the master returned, the master wasn't very happy with the one that buried it in the ground. Okay, negative message. I'm always trying to look for the positive stuff in any message that's given. And I tend to sort of dwell on, oh God, am I the one that's bearing the talent? And you're going to be happy with me. Jeremy, you're a son. Will you relax? He's already happy with you. Okay, let's get that over with. That's done. So let's have a look at the two that invested whatever it was wisely, and there was a wonderful return. The master is pleased with them, and he promotes both of them. Anybody here like promotions? Promotions are generally good. Three of you. Okay. But there's a more significant issue that's here. Not only is he pleased with them, not only does he promote them, he invites them to enter into his joy. And often we forget that part of it, but it's important. Here's what it says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will now make you ruler over many things. And we tend to stop there. But it goes on. It says, enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, the significant thing here is that a servant was never really allowed to enter into the joy of his master. I mean, there was a separation between a servant and his master. You couldn't do that. But here, the master is inviting him to a new level of entering into that place of being more than a servant, being a friend. It's a relationship between friends where we can enter into each other's joy and sorrows. But it's the relationship of a friend that's significant here. We're not just to feel warfare, defilement, burdens, wounding, and then work for the Lord by cleaning it all up. I mean, I know that's part of the job, and that's often what does happen. But I think we're more importantly, we're invited by our Lord to step into his joy while we minister on his behalf and in his strength. We don't want to forget the joy part. Oh, take up the cross daily. I understand that's part of it, but I see more of that than I do, what a father you are, what a privilege, what a joy it is to step into that ministry that you call me to. And don't you love hanging around happy people? It's way better than hanging around people that are sucking on lemon juice. Way better. Okay. God also wants us to understand how our service affects his joy. It's a two-way thing. He joys over us, if you can believe it. Yes, look at that person beside you. It's true. He joys over that person beside you. Okay? As well as our enjoying his joy over us. So let's have a look at Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah. Here's a prophet. God calls him to go and speak to the city of Nineveh. Jonah runs. He doesn't want to do it. And so he runs away, hops on a ship. There's a big storm. They discover Jonah's the problem. And so they throw Jonah overboard, and a big fish swallows him. He's in the fish for 3 days, and then he gets thrown up on the land, and now he changes his mind. Yes, I'll go and speak to Nineveh. Okay? Smart move. Smart move. Can you imagine what that would have been like for Jonah? I mean, do you ever think weird things like that? I do all the time. What was it like in that fish? I mean, it was dark. Smell. Oh, smell must have been absolutely unreal, and stuff floating all over you. And then, okay, I'm weird. Okay. Anyway, he gets spit up on the land and decides he's going to go ahead and speak to Nineveh. So he speaks the word, God is going to destroy Nineveh. And to his surprise, all the people in Nineveh hear and repent in sackcloth and ashes from the highest to the lowest. And because of that, God does not have to destroy Nineveh. Now, I look at that story and I thought, what a great story. Here God calls this prophet, albeit reluctantly, he goes, he preaches, and God relents from the calamity he was going to have to bring to Nineveh. End of story, all tidy and done. Love it. But I don't think that's really the story. So let's have a look at this. When Jonah eventually preached to Nineveh, they believed, they responded, God relented from destroying them. From Jonah 3:10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Now, what we also read after that particular thing is that Jonah was not happy with that decision. Now, why was he not happy that this whole city had listened to his word and had responded? Well, the reason was Nineveh was an Assyrian city. The Assyrians were enemies of the Jews. In fact, Jonah viewed the Assyrians as murdering, raping, pillagers. In fact, Assyrians would build walls out of the skulls of their enemies to show how strong they were. He wanted total destruction of that city. He didn't want any part of any redemptive stuff that might happen. And you know, you can actually read it. In Jonah 4, 2 and 3, he prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That's why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. He knew that right from the start, what God was like. I knew you would do this. I knew if I preached it, you would forgive them. I knew you would. Now you know what he says? Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it's better to me to die than to live. I mean, that's serious ticked off, isn't it? So God says to him in Jonah 4:4, but the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? And you know what Jonah did to that question? He just walked away. He just absolutely ended the conversation. I can't believe this guy's called as a prophet. God asks him a question and he just walks away. And he goes, sits on a hill to brood, and to pout, and to review again how rotten those Assyrians are. It is amazing. But you know, God could have said at that point, Jonah, if that's how you want to respond, go ahead and do it. Be like that then. Be like that. But it's interesting that God cared enough for Jonah, not just the city of Nineveh. God cared enough for Jonah that he wanted to show Jonah what his heart was in the whole process. But how do you get someone who's so angry at Nineveh to understand a heart of compassion for that city? So, we read in Jonah 4:6, then the Lord provided, I want you to recognize that word, provided. The Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. Now, it's not recorded, but I imagine he said, well, maybe I won't die right now. Maybe I'll just sit here and enjoy this wonderful shade. Oh, it's so cool here, cool breeze in the shade. I love it. I love this vine. I mean, he's now in a good place, okay? All right. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. Oh, he's up, he's down. He's up, he's down. I want to die, I want to live. I want to die, I want to live. I want to die, I want to live. This guy has problems. Emotionally, he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what he wants to do. So, he says again, from Jonah 4, 7 and 8, he wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. And God asked him the same question that he'd asked the day before. He said, do you have any right to be angry about the vine? This time Jonah says, I do. I do. He said, I am angry enough to die. How do you talk to God like that? I mean, does that strike anybody as a little rude? But you know, God's big enough to take that. He's quite secure in who he is. He's not too worried about all of that. His heart of compassion toward Jonah hasn't changed. But you see, this prophet who is up and down and up and down and now so angry that he wants to die needs help, doesn't he? He needs help. None of us are ever in that situation, are we? Angry enough to die. Sure we are. There are times. Well, Jonah 4, 10 and 11. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. Now, when it grew up, Jonah really appreciated it, loved the vine, loved what it did. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Now, because Jonah could not have compassion in his state for the city of Nineveh, but could have compassion on a vine because it provided some shade and shelter for him, he understood what God was trying to say. As Jonah cared for the vine, God cared for the city of Nineveh. So, God arranged things, provided things, good and bad, so that Jonah could see what was going on. God had intentionally caused Jonah to really appreciate, even love the vine, so that he could understand how his creator loved the city of Nineveh. Why was that important? It seems that God was trying to get across to Jonah, I want you to understand the joy that I felt when I relented from destroying the city. It was not my intention. I did not want to do it. It was because of their wickedness that this decree was made. But they repented. And I am overjoyed that I don't have to destroy that city. They made a decision. They made a choice. And because of the choice that they made, it is my joy to see that city live. Jonah, do you understand what this is about? I want you to understand my heart in this. I want you to understand the joy that it brings me to see a city live, to see the people live. And I think Jonah was catching it. Jonah's mission wasn't as much about Nineveh as it was about how God felt about the city and loved the people. Jonah forgot that his job was to bring joy to the heart of his Lord through his ministry. It's not just about preaching the word, doing the job, doing the servant stuff. Because we're called to deeper things. We're called as friends. We're called to places of intimacy with the Lord, which means that we step into his joy. And we rejoice over the fact that we understand his joy. That's a great place to be. That's a great place to live. Let me illustrate even more forcefully how important this is. And I'm going to read Ezekiel 44, verses 10 to 16. The Levites, this is God speaking, the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray and who wandered from me after their idols must bear the consequences of their sin. They may serve in my sanctuary, having charge of the gates of the temple and serving in it. They may slaughter the burnt offerings and sacrifices for the people and stand before the people and serve them. They are not to come near to serve me as priests or come near any of my holy things or my most holy offerings. They must bear the shame of their detestable practices. Yet I will put them in charge of the duties of the temple and all the work that is to be done in it. But the priests who are Levites and descendants of Zadok and who faithfully carried out the duties of my sanctuary when the Israelites went astray from me are to come near to minister before me. They are to stand before me to offer sacrifices of fat and blood, declares the Sovereign Lord. They alone are to enter my sanctuary. They alone are to come near my table to minister before me and perform my service. The point I'm making here by looking at that portion of Scripture is this. The priests, the ones that fell into sin, were permitted to minister to man. But only the good, faithful priests were permitted to minister to God. You see, we can minister to man with sin. We can't. I mean, I've often wondered how various heroes of the faith went about doing what they were doing with such sin. I mean, I look at David. Who's the strongest? Samson. I mean, you know, he's living with a woman, and yet his strength has not faded. He's still anointed by God. It is possible to minister to man with sin in our hearts. But we can't minister to God. You can't do it. I can't do it. And so the importance of dealing with stuff in our hearts so that we can step into fellowship and intimacy with God, enjoy his joy, becomes a possibility. It is not a possibility where we still have stuff in our hearts that we're dealing with. Now, I know we're all dealing. None of us have arrived. We're all dealing with our stuff. The encouragement I want is keep going. Keep dealing. As God brings stuff up in our hearts and in our memories, and we want to step in and do something about it so that we can step into his joy. Now, I'm going to ask Connie to come up. She's just going to finish up, and then we're going to pray about, did you want to do that or not? There we go. Are you on?
I don't know yet.
There we go.
Okay. As Jeremy said, we want to have those right hearts, don't we? Want to have a right heart where we serve God out of the right motivation of our heart. That sometimes we think doing good things is good enough. But it's not. God looks at our heart and he's saying, why are you doing it? Are you doing good things because then people will like you? People will, you know, will look at you a different way, or you'll get rewarded in some way by doing that? Or are you doing it out of a pure heart just to bring joy to the heart of God? And we want to have those pure hearts, don't we? And as Jeremy said, we want to draw into intimate places with God. Intimacy with him is probably the most important thing, out of close relationship with him. And he keeps calling us back to this all the time, doesn't he? It's where sometimes we just get so busy. And as John was saying, we're headed into the Christmas season, one of the busiest times. I love the fact that, has Carol been here since she's had her buzzer thing, John? Or have you talked about the buzzer? Yeah, so you've all known whenever the buzzer goes off. Yeah, I've got one under here too. And every 10 minutes, even when she's speaking, all of a sudden she's gone somewhere, you know. And I got a buzzer as well. Oops, it's going off right now, see? Well, we worship you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Well, what I find it does for me is it just brings me back again to that right place. One of the best ways I can think of to describe it for me is like all of a sudden, my spirit sighs. What I mean is it's like anything I'm striving and doing, all of a sudden it's, oh yeah, it's your presence, Lord. And I just step into his presence and it helps to keep me there, keeps reminding me of that. And it's quick and easy, you know, all day long, just as you turn to him, whether you have a buzzer or not, but just as you turn to him in the daytime in the middle of your busyness, it's like, ah, yeah, it's your presence, Lord. Just connecting with him heart to heart, spirit to spirit again. And as we fix our eyes on him, everything else kind of falls back into its proper perspective again, doesn't it? And I just pray for that for you, for this Christmas season again, that as we get so busy and it's fun, we have parties, we get gifts, we have lots of fun things that we do. I love Christmas season. It's great. But we need to remember in the midst of it all, that it's about relationship with him and about his presence in the middle of it. And I think the thing I've been learning from it more than anything, again, is that learning how to stay in the place of his presence. It's like we are actually, it's like we step across to a different realm, don't we? That spiritual realm again. And I become aware of it again, that even if I'm on the bus, no matter where I'm at in the grocery store, it's like, no, there's a spiritual realm that's all around me and helps me to stay in tune with it again. That in the presence of God, in the presence of things that are eternal, not just temporal things that are around me. And it helps to bring me back to that. I want to learn how to live there, don't you? Not just visit, but live there. And so that's what we pray for you again for this Christmas season, for lots of God's presence. Why don't we stand up where we are? I want you to know, too, it's easier than we sometimes make it to come into his presence. Sometimes we struggle and say, oh, God feels so far away. Do you feel that sometimes? Yeah. That's one thing, again, that for me with the buzzer, it's like continually coming before the Lord's presence again so that I don't feel like, oh, it's been a long time since I visited there. But it keeps me aware of it. But it's easier than we've made it. All you have to do is turn your focus and attention to the Lord like that again and look into his face and know that I am right here in your presence. The invitation's out all through Scripture. Come. Come if you're hungry. Come if you're thirsty. Come. Come to the living waters. Come and drink. Come. Come. It's an invitation that's out there already. And many promises like James 4:8 that says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. It's a promise that we just come and he's already right there. Whether you feel him or not, whether you're sensing anything or not, whether you're hearing his voice at that particular time or not, it doesn't matter. You've come and therefore you are already in his presence. And so Lord, right now we just come at your invitation. You've been knocking at the door and we say, yes, we've come. Here we are. We open the door to you again and say, we just want to stand and come into your presence and we want to learn how to live there. We want to learn, just like Jeremy was talking, Lord, to get so close to you that we can feel what's on your heart. We can sense when you feel grieved, but more than anything, we can sense when you feel joy. That when you rejoice over us with singing, even. That you look at us and you see, you're delighted in us and you rejoice over us and that you love us so much. Lord, we want to feel and know your heart for us, for the other people around us, for situations. We want to know your heart. We want to be so close and intimate with you, Lord, that we can know your heart. Wow, and sense your joy. Thank you, Lord, when you're smiling over us, when you're laughing with us and enjoying us, enjoying the things that we do for you. Thank you that you've given the privilege of doing things for you because you knew that we would be sharing in your joy. And we could have the fun of doing that with you. Thank you that you've sent angels to work alongside us for the sake of giving them the joy, again, of working on your behalf. Thank you for your love for each one of us, Lord. We do love you, Lord.
Now I just sense an invitation from the Holy Spirit. If any of us, and I'm here, mm-hmm. if any of us have made a judgment, mm-hmm. Lord, I'm not looking forward to the celebration of the birth of Jesus because of all the stuff that needs to be done. Any kind of those kind of judgments, wouldn't it be good to deal with that? So why don't we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Just speak it out. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. What incredible love you have for us. And I choose now to celebrate the birth of your Son. I repent for any attitudes, any judgments that said, oh no, Christmas is coming. I choose to celebrate you. Lord, help me to deal with stuff if I'm too busy.
Lord, help me to deal with stuff.
But I'm not too busy for you.
So
let Christmas come.
I love Christmas.
I love the celebration of who you are.
I love the celebration of who you are.
And dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
If there are issues in my life.
There are issues in my life.
That are interfering with that place of intimacy with you.
That are interfering with that place of intimacy with you.
I invite you now to show me.
I invite you now to show me.
Now just let him show you. Just wait. Mm.
And I just sense, too, that there's some people, just like Jonah, There's some situations where you want justice, like he did, rather than God's compassion for the person that hurt you. Well, and are you willing to lay that justice down today in order to receive God's compassion and find out how he feels about that person and what he would like to do to redeem it?
So let's keep praying. Lord, I repent for the sin of...
Lord, I repent for the sin of...
And then just speak quietly, whatever that might be. I choose to turn from that thing.
I choose to turn from that thing.
Would you forgive me?
Would you forgive me?
And would you set me free?
And would you set me free?
As I choose you...
I choose you.
As I choose to enter your joy.
I choose to enter your joy.
Not so much as a servant.
Not so much as your servant.
But as your son or daughter.
But as your son or daughter.
Thank you for making a way for me.
Thank you for making a way for me.
I choose to believe there is life for me.
Choose to believe there is life for me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, I just speak to your spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say to your spirits, live. Amen. Live. You are not going to die. You're going to live. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. It is not because of gritting your teeth. It is not because of huge efforts that are made. It is because of his love for you. That place of wonderful rest in him that you are going to live. You're going to enjoy Christmas. You're going to be enjoying each other. That is the heart of the Father. And he's going to enjoy watching you enjoy him.
Amen.
What a system. I love it. Anything else?
Yeah, just especially when we finish up, we want to open up the front for any prayer. There's ministry team here as well. For some of you, it may be just to be filled more with his presence and to grow in that intimacy with him. For some of you, you might want to come up because what we were speaking about just brought up an issue that you're really struggling with in forgiving or releasing someone from their judgments. And maybe you feel that, again, you want that justice and you want God to be able to do that healing in your heart and get freed up in that area of your life. And if so, just share that with the person who's praying with you as well, and they can help you in working that through. And anything else you've come with, there's no reason to ever leave after you've been at church here. There's no reason any Sunday to leave with burdens that you're carrying that you haven't let someone pray for you and help to lift that burden from you and to share that burden with you and to stand together with you. So if you've got something you've come with today and you want some prayer, then by all means ask the ministry team and you can tell them specifically what you need. So Lord, we just bless you and we love to be in your presence. Thanks that we could be in your presence today. Well, we love to stay there sometimes, linger forever, and I know one day we will. But we just love being here in your presence and just love you, Jesus. Come forward for prayer if you want. Open up here at the front. Again, ministry team, if we can have you come up and help us as well.